Blog Talk Radio.
This is the return of IBF. Creative writing for Richard Sun. Continuation of the man who would be king.
This is the return of IBF. Creative writing for Richard Sun.
By Jeffrey Massey.
Continuation of the man who would be king. An excerpt from Cold Baby Jake Wants by Jeffrey Massey. Apparently, I had broken up King's game of solitaire. I mused on whether he would have won. I wondered how anybody really wins at a game you ironically only play with yourself. King also seemed to me a bit of a paradox. Here was a man who reputedly had been sitting on a small fortune. A man who profited handsomely off the profits made from his daughter, Steiner. Yet he lived like an old pauper, alone, forgotten, and discarded. The phone rang. King hollered out, "Pick it up for me, will you, kid?" A raspy female voice answered as I said, "Hi, this is the tuning home. May I help you?" "Yeah, is my old man there?" "If he is, tell him to hurry his tired butt up and don't forget about the $50 he promised me." Before I could respond, the lady hung up the phone. I gave King a message as he came back into the room. He simply grunted and grumbled. "She ain't getting a crying dime from me. Let's head out, sport." With that, we headed for a bleak funeral home over on 76 and Cottage Grove Avenue. For some reason, my mind lingered on pondering why it seemed to me that so many of our folks had to be buried by bleaks. Before being dropped into the ground for all eternity, I wondered where my two kids from my failed marriage would plan me, if at all. They could always just have my dead butt incinerated. The town of Brownsburg was a place like none other where tales were told, legends made, and myths reborn. Stories from those lips of the travelers who returned from the world beyond these borders of the community universe. Accounts of fast money won and lost, goals achieved and denied, dreams deferred and realized were common. More so, they were cannons of the enclave. Like the proverbial message in a bottle, survivors washed ashore to tell the fate that lay in store for those who had yet to breach the boundaries of the small middle-class community. Grotesque tales of irony, enigmatic challenge, twisted passion, sardonic epiphany, and the blood, sweat, and tears were woven, compromising the feeble yet epic attempts at escape. Yes, escape was inherent for those bold few who ventured out to carve out a niche in society. Pachia's Club was the quintessential heart of the community, a microcosm of community life. It epitomized what became reality for its citizens, a bastion of depraved indifference for a place that thrived on rumor. Brownsburg was also a place that acted as a regular potpourri of Chicago area class mixing, a veritable ethnic crucible. Jake and Little Strange called it home. Fully a third of its citizens contained adult children born to baby boom parents. Many of these grown-up babies had come back home after trying their hands at seeking out their personal fortunes in the world. Many of those were compelled by a mixture of broken marriages, legal run-ins, and substance abuse crises to come home. As well, academic fiascos, financial disasters, medical and mental health issues, and plain old rotten luck drove them to seek sanctuary from the real world and seek the safety of their old neighborhood. However, in many cases, their return was not welcomed with open arms. Hard times had come, and the cultural tradition of resource sharing became a disappearing custom. Brownsburg's women fared well in those hard times by finding and keeping decent jobs. Each morning, the ladies filled the CTA rush hour L train cars going northbound towards the downtown loop. Only smatterings of men were ever present on those trips. The majority of Brownsburg's males occupied the undesirable category within mainstream society in the white-collar business world. So they got up, took the kids to school, and started drinking if they could afford it. Often, to pass the time when no quick work could be found nearby, games of chance like bid whist would materialize. All too often for those unfortunate to be trapped there, madness and deceit became the community's legacy. New chapter. Strange days ahead. Strange custom dictated a gathering of family and so-called friends, usually at the bar or at sister's house. This is where habit had it. All ended around the dining room table, deeply engaged in the life and death struggle of winning and losing at bid. Friendships, marriages, laughing liaisons, and solid partnerships were created, bolstered, or destroyed during these magnificently epic duels of lying and cheating. More so, bid also involved savvy outmaneuvering and a deft strategic mind that used bluffing like a Japanese samurai wielding the Bushido blade. The only rule to be obeyed was if you attended these gatherings, you had to fight. Albeit verbal, emotional, psychological, symbolic, and physical, the throat cutting was on, and no one took any prisoners. Fools were routinely debased, and heroic conquests at any cost would involve just how well you could call out your opponent's cheating or rule-breaking ways. This was an absolute necessity, especially playing with sis, because they were all prone to slipping aces off the bottom of the deck or signaling plays to each other by talking across the board. There was rampant reneging and brutal fights over who would be forced to give up their books as a penalty if caught. No one willingly gave up their hard-won books, nor did anyone easily acquiesce when caught unimaginatively peeking at their opponent's hands, or their partner for that matter, while going to the kitchen for a beer. Nothing was sacred as the brutal banter of insults, rumor-mongering, and interrogations carried on, adding to the exquisite ambiance of such a graceful affair. Jake had examined the pieces of the puzzle. In order for Lil to continue functioning in business, she needed cash and needed it fast. Why did she need it was a question Jake deduced quickly. She had been living beyond her means. Lil had planned to use K.M. Lee once more, as she had done when the Acme garment business went belly up. Phyllis's old accusations, as she acted as primary insurance investigator, turned up only circumstantial evidence. That evidence, as flimsy as it was, showed Lil had conspired with person or persons unknown to cause the deadly mishap. It was an event that Lil had counted on to produce $850,000. As some, she planned to use the seed money for her current business, Byzantium Investigations. After the initial claim payoff of $500,000 was used up to pay off Acme creditors, only a cool $200,000 was left. Lil funneled that amount into a startup venture capital for Byzantium. In an article from the SciArt Journal, dated May 28, 2004, Dr. Afia Al-Sanusi expressed some of the advantages and benefits in the application of the psychological role of expressive and literary writing, with this case study being made in Kuwaiti women. Within the article, there is noted that expressive and literary writing is a way of putting thoughts and feelings into words as a therapeutic tool. The article further goes on and says that this technique is based on the belief that writing about memories, problems, feelings, and concerns can help to relieve stress and heal psychological wounds. It also promotes health, well-being, and personal growth, and restores psychological balance. There are several types of expressive and literary writing, the article states. A popular one is journal writing. Within this therapeutic device, which focuses on expressing hidden emotions and exploring the self, there can be seen other examples letter writing, story writing, poetic therapy. The experience of expressive writing encourages people to put their emotions and memories into words, which in some way provides a therapeutic release. The psychology of storytelling. Stories possess the ability to tap into our deepest needs and desires, to hold us in their grasp. We are all storytellers as we relate our histories, our daily experiences, our hopes, and our dreams in ways that inspire or weaken us. Our stories have the potential to empower and guide us. Since stories are created in the brain and are heard, read, or viewed by the brain, it's possible that there are perhaps biological laws for how they are organized and expressed.